I always inevitably on Christmas Eve make some sort of reference to Chris coming out with a Christmas album because I just love, I always feel like it's such a Tom Waits Christmas. But then I was thinking with the addition of Lauryn Hill over here on the piano, something about that's just right. Merry Christmas. And so glad you could be with us tonight. We celebrate tonight the culmination of a season that we've been in called Advent. And Advent is about anticipation. It's about a building hope and joy. It's about something that we've waited for these last 24 days that culminates tonight in this moment of glorious celebration. The anticipation of Christmas, to me, is one of the closest windows we get to heaven on earth, I think. The joy that we experience as we celebrate something so life-changing and so revolutionary, that the love of God would come to earth as this vulnerable little child. We see all of the majesty and the splendor and yet all the meekness and the gentleness, the vulnerability and the sacrifice of God's very character on display. It's profound and it's life-changing. It's what we celebrate. This coming King has come to earth. And in a message a few weeks ago, I was saying that the finality of these events from a God's eye view, that as this baby is born, the angels declare peace on earth, that it's finished and that it's done. And yet Advent reminds us that we find ourselves between these two points in time. That Advent, in Latin, it has to do with an arrival. And we celebrate the arrival of Jesus as the Messiah. But that something began there that is continuing to unfold and to grow, that envelops us, that captures us, that expands our hearts. We get caught up in this work that God is doing, and it's this work of peace on earth. But we find ourselves in this in-between time, and so it is appropriate that Advent is a time of waiting. It can be a time of tension, can even be a time of frustration. For my little daughter there, she cannot wait till tomorrow morning. But for others, this season can be a hard season. It can be a lonely season, a painful season, and somehow Advent holds both of these things together. The beauty and the joy of this victory, and yet also tenderly holds the suffering that we endure and reminds us that God is doing something bigger, bigger than we hope and dream. In the beginning of John's gospel, he says, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." And these passages that we've been reading are this message of grace and truth to the world. Somehow we can tend to just hope for justice at times, and what we see is God triumph over it in mercy. That God's love is better than we expect and catches us off guard. And the joy we experience in life, we get these glimpses of what it will be like someday. And all of these moments, as powerful as they are, have a tendency to leave a bit of longing behind in us. We realize through joy that we're meant for a world bigger than this one, that we have appetites greater than this world can say can provide satisfaction for. I love this line from Chesterton. He says, "When a person has found something which he prefers to life itself, he for the first time has begun to live." When a person has found something which he prefers to life itself, he for the first time has begun to live. And what we find in Jesus is a love so incomprehensible and the enormity of its willingness to sacrifice for the sake of mankind, to pay the price, even to suffer innocently for our sins, to bring that level of grace and forgiveness to this world. We see a love that we can't understand. We marvel at, we celebrate, and we sing about. Luke 1, 77 through 79 says this, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. I love that last image, this path of peace, and I think Advent is this journey that we take, a journey that we take in confidence because of the hope that we have in the coming of Jesus. But it's a path that we walk in hope and in faith as we watch it unfold before us. In those texts that we read, we hear prophecies, some of them almost 700 years before Jesus was born. And you think about the amount of time that the people waited and waited for this coming promised king. David, almost 1,000 years before Jesus was born, was told that he would have an heir of his that would sit on the throne. And I read this passage, and it caught me off guard at first. I was reading it during one of these Advent readings that I've been going through. In 2 Samuel 7, David is talking about building God a home, that he realizes he's living in this palace of cedars and that God is up there in this tent. And so he decides to build God a house. And what God does is turn the tables on him and says, actually, I'm going to build you a house. It says this, go tell my servant David, are you the one to build me a house to live in? I took you from the pasture. I've been with you wherever you went and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make you a great name. I will appoint a place for my people, Israel. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. And in their anticipation of Christmas, it was this realization of a coming king, but what God tells them is that he's making a kingdom. And as Jesus came to earth, he spoke again and again, this kingdom has come close and it's near. Christmas is about more than just the birth of Christ, but it's about the beginning of this kingdom unfolding on earth as it is in heaven. And this story becomes our story, the story of Christmas, this story of a kingdom being built, this story of our lives, God building a house for us. And I love this little piece from Mere Christianity where he talks about this work that God does, like building a home, and how often when God is at work in our lives, we have very different blueprints than his. That we have this tendency to build a small little cottage, and God is up to something much greater. He says, imagine yourself as living as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he's doing. He's getting the drains right, stopping the leaks in the roof, and so on. You knew that these jobs needed doing, so you're not surprised. But presently, he starts knocking the house about in a way that hurts abominably and does not seem to make any sense. What on earth is he up to? The explanation that is that he is building a different house from the one you thought of, throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he's building a palace. He intends to come and live in it himself. And when we think of the message of Christmas, we realize that Christmas is the beginning of something. That God is making our hearts his dwelling place and coming in and inhabiting that. That God is not just from a distance blessing us, but instead is offering us this abiding intimacy. John 14, Jesus says to his disciples, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is the promise of the second Advent that we wait for. And it's sure. The angels have declared it, and from God's perspective, it's as good as happened. But there's a work that takes place in our hearts in the meantime as we wait, that we're being shaped and perfected, that our hearts might be like His. That the God who came and poured out His heart for us to fill us with joy is making in us a similar sort of heart that from that joy can then pour out our love on the world. And that by doing it, we would give them peace. The peace that we have from the work that God is doing, the surety of that work in our hearts, is giving hope to a world like that little candle being lit. It occurs in what Scripture calls the fullness of time. And as these prophecies came true, it's not like there's a clock there ticking away the seconds, but instead a ripening of something that has been growing. And I love that phrase, in the fullness of time. It's a phrase that Jesus would use from time to time. Paul uses it when he writes to the Galatians, and he says this: "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." And this is part of the joy that we celebrate at Christmas, that this love of God, not only does it envelop us, it changes our very identity. And the wonder and the joy of Christmas is this sort of childlike mirth. And that this is the kind of work that God does, is to keep our hearts young like a child crying out to Him, "Daddy." And tonight we rest in this place of anticipation. God is working all things together for good. We're reminded that the Lord is not slow to keep His promise, but He's patient towards you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to change their hearts and lives. I want to close this part with a prayer from a man that I've really just grown to enjoy his writing. He was a Jesuit priest and a paleontologist, which is kind of an odd combination. But he wrote this beautiful prayer called "Trust in the Slow Work of God." And I feel like it speaks to the nature of this waiting during Advent and the promise that God is doing a deep work in each heart. He says, "Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything. To reach the end without delay, we would like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with you, that your ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on as though you could be today what time will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what His new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that His hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourselves in suspense and incomplete. And that as we wait, God continues to build our hearts into His home, to remodel our lives, to perfect them. And we trust that He sees us so much differently than we see ourselves, as adopted children, as beloved, that the whole story is about this profound gesture of God's love, filled with mercy and truth, leading us forward on the path of peace. And as we wait, we rest in the peace and hope that this trustfulness brings, that God will make all things new, that He makes all things beautiful in His time. We trust that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. And until then, we wait in joyful anticipation of the good that is to come. Amen.